for us, like when COVID hit and then we're starting like getting ready to reopen, you know, going straight into the PPE stuff, we kind of freaked out, like, what are we going to do with all, you know, the mask and the gloves? And I think at that time, Green Circle had just started like brainstorming, so we didn't know that that was going to be an option.
In March 2020, the world shut down because of COVID-19, and the use of PPE, or personal protective equipment, became essential, not just for first responders, but also for the general public. The environmental impact of single-use items such as disposable gloves and masks is already showing up in our oceans and landfills. This is especially hard to witness for those of us who work really hard to practice a low-waste lifestyle, and for business owners with eco values, like the audio you just heard from Rebecca, the owner of Casa Prana Hair Salon in North Carolina, USA. It's a difficult internal battle many of us are having. But is there a more responsible way that single-use PPE can be disposed of with a minimal negative effect on the environment? Hello, my name is Em, and I'm the host of the Sustainable Life podcast and the founder of the Sustainable Life app, a free app on Apple and Android for sustainable living made easy. Use it to connect with eco brands and businesses in your area. And the purpose of this podcast is to interview various experts on topics relating to sustainability to help keep you encouraged, informed, and inspired. Today's podcast is a part two to our previous one with Green Circle Salons. They have a new PPE initiative through which they help salons and spas dispose of single-use PPE products responsibly. You must be wondering, if these salons are green, then isn't using single-use masks irresponsible? I agree, and to be honest, most green businesses have figured out how to function without the use of single-use PPE, especially masks. But there are still some items that cannot be avoided because of the safety and personal protective risks that COVID has presented the world. We'll get into deeper discussion on this with today's guests. We're welcoming back Will Simpson from Green Circle Salons and also sustainable salon owner Rebecca from Casa Prana in North Carolina, USA. So without further ado, let's get started.
We're so excited to talk about PPE because as consumers, we keep thinking about either COVID hair, don't care, or crap, I have COVID hair. What do I do? True. So we have to like, obviously, you know, then spend like, it's almost like you're doing like, I hate to say it, but like a drug deal. Like you're contacting your local salons and you're, you know, the people who you work with and you're like, hey, I promise to wear a mask. Can I meet
absolutely.
You? Can you cut my hair?
Yeah, the amount of people, you know, asking us, like, come to my backyard, I'll come to yours. I'm like, you can't do that. We wish we could, but we can't, you know.
Yeah. So I obviously live in Kelowna, BC, and we have like a very similar structure, smaller town. So we've been able to open up easier. But Will, you're in Vancouver. So Vancouver actually was blessed enough to open up early too, but the majority, like the head office for Green Circles is in Toronto, and they opened up a little bit later, right? Just recently.
Yeah, it was really interesting watching, because we operate all throughout North America, you know, there was the very first wave of reopenings, which was, I think, Georgia and Texas. And then shortly after that, the rest of the states kind of cascaded on, you know, back to being reopened. And then Canada was actually not far behind the very first states, but it was select provinces, and some provinces held on for a really long time, Ontario being, I think, the last or one of the very last ones to reopen. And so it was really interesting because when COVID first hit and, you know, the shutdown happened, we basically flipped a switch where all of a sudden all of our salons were closed, and so we stopped, you know, conducting business as usual. And then so that was almost like a really quick switch off, But then because it's been such a slow reopening, it's happened in a really interesting staggered fashion. And that's sort of forced us to make some changes to our technology, to the way we conduct business with these salons and spas, and just the whole way that we communicate has been really different for the first time in 11 years.
Awesome. So for the listeners who haven't obviously tapped into the previous podcast, could you explain a little bit about Green Circle Salons and what you've been doing up until now? And then also talk about the focus of our podcast today, which is the PPE program that you just launched, which is so cool.
Absolutely. So Green Circle Salon started in Toronto, Canada in 2009 with a mission to create sustainable alternatives for the waste that's being generated within the beauty industry in North America. So essentially, we started with about 20 salons in Toronto, and over the subsequent decade, we've managed to make this program available to every postal code and every zip code in North America. And we now have a system to recover, repurpose, and recycle up to 95% of the waste being generated within beauty services, whether it be salon, spa, barber, or any kind of aesthetics, nails, eyelashes, eyebrows, all of that stuff. We have a solution for the management of that waste.
Can you talk about the main things that you do recycle? Because I think a lot of consumers don't really think about a lot of these things, right? You just go into a salon, you get your haircut, and bye.
Absolutely, because so much of it happens in the back room. And you know, as a consumer, you leave, you feel great, you look great, you're taking your selfies, and you're not really thinking about the fact that somebody's kind of sweeping up all that stuff behind you, and it has to go somewhere. And so, whether you are in a fully sustainable salon that's, using really great product, or a salon where everything goes into the trash, you don't necessarily have a lot of visibility around what's happening. And so what we try to do is really give salons and other beauty businesses a way to showcase what they're doing for the community. And it's the recycling and recovery of, like I said, 95% of the waste, hair clippings, the foils that get used in a color service, the color tubes, aerosol cans, batteries, light bulbs, mannequin heads, the actual hair color waste itself, spa utensils and implements, things like makeup and cotton and wax sticks and strips and all of the ugly stuff that makes you beautiful that wouldn't necessarily be easily recycled through a city bin. We also collect those things, paper and plastic, for businesses that are otherwise challenged with the management of those materials because of the lease arrangements that they have, or because the reality is some cities still don't have recycling infrastructure even for the basics. And it's really sobering to see that in some of the most developed cities in North America, there can still be really bad infrastructure when it comes to recycling. And in many cases, these cities are actually taking a step backwards as it becomes harder to recycle things like glass and even paper and cardboard.
Of course, like if you don't wash your plastic out properly or whatever your containers are properly, they actually can't be recycled. And a lot of consumers don't take that extra step. It's like you just put it in the bin and you forget about it. And I read that like 90% of what we actually recycle doesn't get recycled. So really only just like 9 or 10% of that makes its way to the proper facility. And I find your program so amazing because you guys, you make sure, like, is it 100% of what that salon sends you, 100% of that does get recycled responsibly, gets sent to the proper facility and, circular economy, hopefully?
That's right. We are zero waste to landfill certified, which means it doesn't necessarily all get recycled. It may get repurposed, meaning turned into other things. Like we have a really cool system right now that takes hair and recycled post-industrial plastic and turns that into a new material called biocomposite, which can be used to make the recycling bins that our salons are putting their materials into.
That is so cool.
That's just one example of repurposing. Also right now, oil spills are very top of mind. And it's a terrible reality that these man-made spills are contaminating our natural spaces. But believe it or not, hair can be used to soak up the oil in an oil spill, just as on your head, it's soaking up the oil that's being generated from your scalp. So there's all kinds of opportunities, and really, you know, as a society, we're just scratching the surface in general of what can be done with waste management. But what we know is that things like single stream recycling are actually really detrimental to the waste management process, because to put everything in one bin and say all of this is going to be recycled is actually quite irresponsible. All of these things need to be managed in very different ways, whether it be super specialty stuff like PPE, which has a biomedical concern and is, you know, potentially contaminated, or whether it's paper, or whether it's paper that's got, you know, plastic attached to it. All of these things need to be handled in different ways. And so Green Circle has a really sophisticated system for the streamlining of those materials and then the eventual recycling, repurposing, or waste recovery. And because we're zero waste to landfill certified, that means that if there's no other possible solution for those materials, then what we do is we put it through a waste to energy recovery process. And that's sort of what led us to this solution for PPE.
Okay, so let's talk about PPE, because it's, you think it's trash, right? Like it's single use, you put it on, it's gonna go into a landfill. I've personally, up until this point, I had made my peace with it. And I was like, this is just what's gonna happen. And maybe someday someone will turn this into a bowl or something. But up until that point, it's garbage. And then I find out you guys have the system and it can actually become something. So can you talk about that?
Absolutely. I think the reality is that not everything can be recycled, but we want to find the best possible solution for everything. And that's where we landed with PPE. We knew that because these materials touch people, because there is that biomedical concern, they couldn't be recycled. There's so many different types of components too, whether it's, you know, a metal staple in a mask, or the actual textiles or paper. And oftentimes there's multiple different types of material in one single thing, like a mask or a face shield. So the waste to energy system is something that's been around for quite a while now. It's quite prevalent in places like Asia and Europe, and we're really just starting to use this here in North America. Incinerators have been around for decades, and the incinerators of old were sort of just big burn piles. It was kind of like a big campfire where everything gets lit up and just burns and gets emitted into the atmosphere. Modern incinerators are really engineering marvels. And the reason why is because they're able to burn up an immense amount of material while creating electricity. The way they do that is essentially a crane drops this solid material into a combustion unit. It burns up at a really high heat. And then that heat heats up water pipes, which in the process are converted into steam. That steam goes through a cistern and is turned into electricity. And then that electricity gets channeled into our grid and becomes a clean power source for our homes and our businesses. And in that process, it's not just creating the electricity, but there's actually a couple of other things that happen too. When that material gets burnt up, it creates ash, and it also allows us to reclaim the metals from that process. So if you're burning like a makeup container, for example, the little screws and all of the pieces of metal, all of the components of that would actually be able to be recovered and recycled at the end. And then the ash can be used for a couple of different things as well. So there's two different types of ash. One is called fly ash, and that actually is a hazardous material. It needs to be specially treated. And that usually makes up about 10% of the ash that's left. The other 90% is what's called bottom ash. That's what falls to the bottom of the burn pile. And that can be used for construction and aggregates. So brick building, asphalt, highways, all kinds of things can be made from that bottom ash material.
Cool. Is that like, have you ever seen those social media videos where like people are making roads out of plastic? Is that essentially where the plastic's coming from there?
Well, it wouldn't actually be plastic because at this point it's actually ash. It's like, just like what you'd see in a campfire. But it's that same kind of idea where, you know, roads are essentially made up of ground aggregate, right? And ash is just kind of powdered aggregate. So what you're doing is you're taking that ash and you're mixing it with a number of other materials. Yeah, exactly.
Cool. And then, so the hazardous material that's involved with all that, the 10%, how do they make sure that hazardous material doesn't then go back into the environment? Because I don't want to breathe that.
Yeah, so this is where these facilities have really become state of the art. When you're burning up this material, less than 1% is actually going out into the atmosphere. And it's all, you know, within government controlled levels. The fly ash itself is captured in a really sophisticated system using scrubbers. And then essentially that fly ash is being treated typically as a hazardous waste that goes into a lined landfill. So it'd be the same like if you have materials from other industries that need to be specially treated, they'll typically go into a drum, and then that drum will be buried underground in a lined landfill. That's what they're doing with the fly ash as well.
So you've talked about the fly ash, which is the hazardous material. Now, if I go and I give you a bag of PPE that needs to be recycled, how much of that bag, percentage-wise, ends up being hazardous material? And how does that get disposed of?
Yeah, so that material ends up in a lined landfill, typically. It's a hazardous waste material. So like with any industrial materials, it will often end up in a drum, and then that drum gets buried in a secure landfill site. That's kind of the only end-of-life solution for the most hazardous stuff that we have on our planet. What we're looking at is around 10 to 30% of the original waste volume will remain as ash. And of that, 10% is going to be fly ash. So you're looking at somewhere around 1 to 3% of what you start with, which is a pretty insignificant amount. So in a 10-pound bag of trash, it would be, 3 ounces would be fly ash that ends up in a secure landfill.
Okay, so I get that. 1 to 3% of the total ends up becoming hazardous material. And I really hope that there's some way to, like, I don't know, change that process so we don't just have to bury hazardous material. But I guess I'm not a scientist, so they must be doing the best that they can with what they have, right?
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, people say the best solution is to not create the stuff in the first place, which is why in the waste management hierarchy, we say refuse, reduce, reuse, recycle, and recover is kind of the last desirable option before landfill. What we want to do is limit our initial use of that stuff and our manufacturing of that stuff, like, for example, single-use items or PPE, so that we don't have to deal with the end-of-life solution. There are facilities now in almost every state and province. And so it's really just managing the load. And over time, as we become better with our single use and, you know, landfillable materials, reducing the overall volume that we're creating, that's going to create more opportunity to use waste to energy incineration and lessen our demand on landfills.
That's beautiful. So when you get these single use products from all of these Green Circle salons, you're probably just holding on to it right now, right? Or are you sending it straight to these facilities already?
So that's
because
actually
of COVID. I'm just wondering, it's COVID.
Yeah, that's actually the beauty of the PPE waste recovery initiative that we've created, which is that it's a standalone box. And so when it sits in Rebecca's salon, it's something that the guests and staff can see. It creates that line of sight to, you know, safety and their security being of chief importance inside the business. But it's also something that they don't have to touch. So that gets taped up and shipped back to Green Circle, and then it goes straight to the waste to energy facility. So the staff doesn't have to worry about tying up bags and, you know, handling all of that material, transferring it from one box to the next. And similarly, our team at our warehouses can really just stack that stuff and then send it off to be turned into clean energy. They don't have to worry about handling the different masks and single-use items.
Yeah, you don't have to separate anything. That's beautiful. So Rebecca, let's talk about, like,
It's so exciting. I mean, just listening to him, it's like, glad we're, you know, part of it. It's amazing.
Always a Green Circle salon? Like,
so we've been open for 18 months only. So my previous place of employment, I knew about Green Circle because we tried to implement. Didn't work out, and then I was like, you know, it is time that we do our own thing and bring it back to life, and, you know, and start with the partnership and start making the differences slowly, you know. When Will mentioned, like, the recycling is like scratching the surface, Green Circle provides us like way more than that, because it's such a talking point at the salon that now the feedback, like, for, you know, the new clients are coming in because we have the service. The old clients were training them into this new lifestyle, because that's what we like to call us here. You know, we're a lifestyle salon. It's all about sustainability from top to bottom with everything that we do here. The feedback now from clients are like, I went to the grocery store and I chose to buy a whole watermelon instead of the one in a package because of you, you know. And then they keep like coming back with all this like cool stuff that they're changing on their daily lives, that it's like, it's amazing, you know. So Green Circle is opening up doors for a lot more than just what we recycle here in the salon. You know, like, the clients are very receptive and open, and they are making the changes as well. So, which is amazing, you know.
Can you speak to the salons you've worked in the past that didn't recycle responsibly? Like, could you just like give us, like the listeners and just consumers in general, a bit of an idea of like how much waste is really created on a daily basis or weekly basis?
It's a lot. You know, I came from a very fast-paced place, and it's, you know, about like 2 garbage bags a day, if not more, just with like leftover color tubes and foils and, you know, just our garbage from leftover food and anything that you can possibly imagine, like the hair, everything, you know, like packaging, shipping packaging, which is like such a wasteful thing too, you know. It's insane. We, like, here at Casa Perona now, we are down to 1/2 a bag of garbage per month, which is crazy. That's like how much we were able to reduce, you know. So on top of Green Circles, we use like a local compost company for our leftover lunch and stuff like that, you know. And then we use in our plants here the compost for all of that. And we have like drastically changed the amount of waste that we produce, which is amazing.
What do you recycle with Green Circle? Just like
we recycle everything. We recycle the foils. We also have a program for clients if they bring back their aerosol cans or their old tools like blow dryers or curling irons. We give them 10% off on their purchase. The salon has its own brand of products as well. And we only use plastic where it's necessary, like for pumps, you know, or caps or anything that we cannot like use plastics, then we have it. But even the pumps are optional. The clients don't have to purchase with the product. They're on the side, so they can choose not to have it. And then we have a full like refill program as well that reduces the packaging usage, you know. But then we recycle. They can bring their tools, the aerosol cans, and get a discount. We do the foils, the hair, the leftover color, which is really important because our state is ranked 42 out of the whole entire U.S. as the worst water quality ever. So, it's insane. So, like, not dumping that down the drain is super important to us, too, you know. And those are the things that, like, we talk to the clients as well, and you bring them that awareness, and we're pushing towards the political side too, because now they're demanding change, because these are the things that we're, you know, talking about behind the chair. So it's, again, it's opening up a whole other world for for sustainability. So
that's so beautiful.
But yeah, we recycle everything.
Something you don't really think about, right? Like color going down the drain. Because I was doing another podcast with like the Institute for Sustainability in Canada, IISD, Institute for Sustainable Development. There you go. And we were talking about water and like freshwater lakes and such. But we also brought up recycling water and like wastewater plants. And he was talking about like Plan B and like birth control pill and how they got the water and they tested it with frogs. And then male frogs grew female eggs. Mm-hmm. Just from like being around that water.
And
like just think about like recycling with like hair mm-hmm. color, and then we've got like so many pills that everybody takes. Like mm-hmm. it's not just Plan B, like people have some really serious conditions mm-hmm. and that water gets recycled and then we're drinking that water. Mm-hmm. Like what is happening, right? So that's such a huge point.
Yeah, we implemented a reverse osmosis at a salon as well, you know, too. And then we use the shower heads from EcoHeads, who are also partners with Green Circle, just to make sure that we, you know, reduce the chlorine hormones, like anything that, you know, that we can reduce. We're going that route as well, so.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And you guys opened up a community box too, right? Can you talk about
that? We did, yeah. So what we do, every morning we put our PPE box outside. So as the clients walk out, because we're actually at a house. We're not like in a strip mall or anything. So we have our little front porch. So on their way out, they can toss, you know, their masks out for us to recycle. And then they can also come and drop it off without having to come into the salon. And then every night we bring it back in, and you know, we started that actually yesterday, and we already had like a great, you know, turnover. So people came and dropped their stuff off, which is awesome.
Such an amazing community service mm-hmm. that you're doing, because a lot of us, like, we have our own masks that we wash, we reuse, we have multiple masks that we use. So always go with your fabric mask first, cotton, mm-hmm. linen, you know, solid fabrics. Not polyester, people, because you could like breathe through that so easily. It's so bad. But like when you do have to use single use, it's really nice to have that like as an option. But can you speak to like as a salon owner, some of the single use plastics that like you have to use, there's no workaround for? Because everybody thinks like, why even use it then, right? There has mm-hmm. to be some sort of a workaround.
Yeah, it's very difficult. You know, especially like with the hair colors, like some of them come in little plastic bottles. Again, where we are, our county only recycles plastic 1 and 2. So 3 and above, we don't have that option, and everything is 3 and above.
City is only 2. They don't even do number 1. Can
oh my
you
God,
that?
Yeah.
I moved
yeah.
from like a major city to like the small town.
Mind-boggling.
Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah. Oh. Mm-hmm. So right now, one other thing that we're doing to reduce that too, we do not partner with any companies that ship with styrofoam or plastic. So if we buy something from them and we get the free shipment, it's not what we're looking for, we don't move forward, you know, we're in business with them. So, and that helps a lot, you know, reducing the waste as well. And we also look into everything in the salon right now is either plastic or metal, metal or glass. We have very minimal plastic again. So, you know, we do try to search, do the research before, you know, becoming.
Do you do single use gloves and stuff when you do color? Like, do you still have to use some single use?
We used not to. We used to use the reusable ones, but now with COVID, it's a whole other ball game. So unfortunately, we had to go back into doing the single use gloves, which breaks my heart, but it's, you know, safety first, and we have to adjust. So, but before we used to do, it was like a rubber glove type of thing, and you can use it about, you know, get 20 uses out of it before you have to toss it. So,
yeah.
And then there's the whole like biodegradable gloves too, but that's a whole other ball game for recycling. So we just use the, you know, the classic one-time use gloves.
Exactly. And I think we're all feeling that now too. Like, I don't know, Will, if this is still happening in Vancouver, but when I was still living in Vancouver, you weren't allowed to bring your reusable bags. Now, where I live now in Kelowna, you can finally bring them into grocery stores again. But like in Vancouver, like the amount of plastic bags I would bring home in a week just from grocery shopping, it made me want to throw up. So gross. And then you would go into the grocery stores and they would like wrap one tomato in plastic. Like what? The cucumbers, obviously they've always done that, but like I was seeing like potatoes in plastic and like all these other things, and I'm like, what's going on? This is overwhelming me. So I think we're all feeling it. And you can't bring your reusable mugs into coffee shops anymore, so we're all plastic.
There's no question that societally we've taken a massive step backwards in terms of our commitment to reducing single-use materials. And as Rebecca said, that in some cases is just sort of a requirement of operating in a pandemic. You know, when it comes to personal protective equipment, there's just no alternative to it. But that doesn't change the fact that we all want to stay committed to our environmental goals. And so we have to kind of figure out the best ways to operate, you know, while still maintaining that safety protocol. And so I think that's where the PPE program really came about for Green Circle, was that we knew this was an unfortunate reality of going back to work for stylists. We knew that this was going to be a reality anytime as citizens we were out in public, we would be required to wear a certain amount of PPE. And so we wanted to come up with a way that people could stay committed to the environmental mission, but also not have to resort to the landfill.
Right.
And that was really important because, as Rebecca said, you know, these salons are going from sometimes recycling nothing to recycling 95% of waste. But then, you know, all of a sudden it was like, you know, March 15th or whatever, everything changed and they had to take this big step backwards. So this is how they are able to still manage their environmental footprint while operating, you know, in a way that's respectful of everybody's safety concerns. And the kind of the new reality, as we're calling it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As consumers too, we don't have to use single use all the time. I feel like it's just in very desperate situations where we should be, and obviously safety for employees and stuff when you have to use single use gloves. But like for the most part, I hope people are, you know, using reusable masks and like going the hand sanitizer route over using gloves, because only be using gloves when you really need to be using gloves and those kind of things, right? Are we all on the same page there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like I color hair and I train myself to just do one glove in one hand, just the one that I'm touching the hair. Like I don't even use two anymore, you know?
Oh, wow.
There's no need for it. Like we're just so trained in this mindset, you know, everything's disposable and single use, and we just need to train ourselves into doing better. You know, it doesn't have to be perfect, but we can slowly shift it.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for the work that you guys are both doing. Like, wow. Honestly, on behalf of consumers, merci beaucoup. Thank you. So can we talk, like, I asked you guys earlier too, right before this podcast, but like, can you guys think of any other industries that should have programs like this set in place? Because I didn't even know about Green Circle Salons before talking to you, Will. And honestly, after talking to you, I was like, oh my gosh, this is the coolest thing ever. How does this not exist for everything? And I've started to brainstorm like other industries, but like I love asking people. So please share, like, what do you guys think?
So here in town, we actually have, it's called the Ocean Safe Project that the university started, and it's geared more towards the food industry. So if the restaurants got rid of plastic straws, you know, they're using, now using styrofoam for their to-go containers, you know, if they become more ocean and environmentally friendly, they get a stamp on their door and, you know, they go on their website, and then the university, you know, has this program that, that helps them out, and you know, and spreading the word. In our grocery stores here, we can bring back our plastic bags. themselves for recycling, which is, you know, another step that they're taking. So.
Wait, you can recycle plastic bags similar to the PPE that you guys are doing? Mm-hmm. Really?
So I guess it's almost like what Green Circle does, you know, as far as doing like renewable energy and, you know, for bricks and pavement and all that stuff. So I think it's kind of the same route.
Yeah, thin plastics can also be recycled. The challenge that we found is a lot of recyclers don't want it because of their technology. Hard plastics are the easiest ones to recycle because it kind of gets chipped up and then melted down and turned into pellets. And so thin plastics, plastic films, are more difficult to recycle. And a lot of recyclers don't want them because in the recycling system, they'll actually get kind of wrapped up in the cogs of the system. And we've seen, like in the city of Toronto, the whole recycling system shut down because this was going on, you know, time and time again. And then all of a sudden you have a multi-million dollar machine that just stops working.
Yeah.
So typically what you see is places that can recycle film will ask that you have a bag of bags. So it's you know, tightly packed, and then it's able to be recycled more easily. But oftentimes they'll resort to waste to energy as kind of a, what we call a regrets solution.
Wait, so like plastic to plastic, like those bags, is it like a special facility that takes that, or could it go into the same facility so long as it's packed?
You know what, I'm
not sure if you know.
I don't want to say exactly because I'm not super familiar with the different technology that they have, but I know that typically groups that don't want to recycle thin plastics, it's because of the way it operates within that machinery. And then the ones that can accept it, it's because they're using a different type of system. And oftentimes one of the challenges too is the blowers. So they've got blowers that will kind of blow different types of material around, and paper will behave differently than plastic in that situation, but they might get confused.
So cool. Can you connect me with one of these amazing recycling facilities one of these days, if you don't
mind? Absolutely.
Because I would love to just like pick their brain about everything. I'm sure it'd be like a 5-hour podcast. It'd be awful.
You know what? I think everybody should, at one point in their life, ideally when they're a child, maybe again when they're an adult, they should tour these facilities because just there's something about seeing other people's waste, like mounds and mounds of other people's waste, that really kind of makes you realize we're all a part of this massive problem. And you know, it's easy to look at a bag of trash in a landfill and to feel like it's somebody else's, but when you realize that you're contributing to that same landfill, you know, like when you tour your local facilities and you understand that that is your and your colleagues, your friends, your family's waste, it creates a kind of sense of ownership over the problem.
That's my hummus container right there.
Exactly.
I could have made that at home from scratch, but I chose.
Did I rinse it properly?
Yes. What about
you? That's one of the reasons why we, just to circle back to that, we make sure that it's all very visual to the clients too. Like we like to do like games, you know, with them, like for them to guess like how much garbage we're shipping out this time, you know, and then they win like a little something with us. And like, just to put that out there, like what 13 pounds of leftover collar looks like, or what 20 pounds of foil looks like, you know, because people don't know they're contributing to it, but they don't know exactly what it is, you know. So it's pretty cool to make it visual and what triggers in people when they see all that waste. So
yeah, totally. Taking like
seeing is believing.
Mm-hmm.
So Will, what about you? What other industries do you think should be upping their recycling game?
Well, it's a great question, and I think my belief is that every industry needs to have a green solution. And what I mean by that is, you know, Shane Price, our founder, was sitting in a salon when he came up with this idea because he saw this disconnect between the stuff that was used to make somebody look a certain way and the end result, which was the stuff ending in the landfill. He felt that that model was broken. And of course, we've since come to label that the take, make, and waste model. Which there's a lot of writing you can find online about this kind of model, and it's the It's how grocery stores operate. It's how our whole society functions on this idea that we take from the planet, we create consumables, and then the waste just ends up, you know, kind of flushed to the corners of our globe, be it countries, you know, developing nations, or yeah, whether it's landfill spaces that nobody's looking at. But ocean, that's a broken model. And so I believe that just as Shane pioneered this concept for this wonderful industry that we operate in today, there needs to be an innovator in every single industry, whether it's personal services, whether it's food, whether it's, you know, finance, because anytime you can cut down on waste, you're creating efficiencies that generate higher yields, more profitability, more well-being. And so whether that's, you know, minimizing the amount of color waste that's created in a hair service, or whether that's minimizing the amount of grocery store waste or restaurant waste, or you know, really any industry you can look at critically and say, hey, where can we trim the fat? Where can we become more effective and more efficient? Yeah. And I think that the solid and liquid waste elements of these industries is just one place. But
what you mean profitability, though, like how it actually attracts more business, I think maybe we should speak to that too. Like if we, let's say car industry, for example, they probably don't really recycle as well as they should. Maybe they do, but maybe they don't. So like if we were to take an industry, how could going greener make it more profitable in your opinion? Is it just like consumers who share the same values will then support you? Is it literally that simple, or is there more to it?
It's a multi-win scenario. You just identified one of the things, which is that when you create a green image, when you project that outwardly, you're going to have the Wills and the M's and the Rebeccas of the world wanting to support that business, because we know that it identifies with our same set of values.
And truly, but green. Don't greenwash me. Don't tell me.
Not greenwashing, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Don't tell me it's like, good, but not do it.
Like, if we dissect the beauty industry, you know, what Green Circles is doing, it's geared towards the salon owner. But then, like, financially speaking, one thing that blows my mind, it's all the free samples that these bigger beauty companies offer. Like, why are we still doing that, you know? Like, why everyone needs a freebie or go to a class and get like a mini travel bottle of a drop of shampoo in there for you to try, you know? So like, there's so much in this beauty lifestyle, like we don't have to go too far like other industries. Like ours, it still needs a lot of work, you know? And that will save the companies money too. Like, you know, they can be a lot more profitable if they're not putting so much effort with this tiny little packages for no reason, that we all look at it that's at a class really and then we toss it, you know? There's so much paper. Again, free samples, like it's just stuff that I come home and I put that bag down and I never look at it again, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's interesting that you say that, Rebecca. I was reading an article the other day and they were talking about how new product lines are launching during the pandemic, because it's really hard to get product into people's hands and to get them to, you know. And so what a lot of beauty lines are doing is they're working with micro influencers. So rather than, you know, trying to saturate the market, what they're doing is finding key people that they know have an audience that listens to them, that takes their beauty recommendations, and they're giving those samples to them. But the idea is that in turn, that's how these brands are going to take root. And it's not by flooding the market with product. It's not by putting a bunch of it on the shelves and you know, flooding industry with it. It's getting key people to talk about the value that this product actually delivers. And of course, to show the results visually. But to get back to the
fascinating world we live in, where influencers have so much influence.
Yeah.
And sorry, I couldn't not say it.
Absolutely.
It's so fascinating to me.
And the fact that in the, you know, a pandemic world where we've gone digital, it's only fitting that these people become sort of the spokespeople for all kinds of products and services.
It's cool because it's people who are now generating all of this excitement, as in like the big,
head honchos who are morphing like topics and situations and then putting it out there in, you know, like multimedia ways for us to then get influenced. So in a way it's cool that it's like down to the people, but in other ways it's, I guess there are like pluses and minuses of influencers, but like that's a, I guess, an interesting positive that I've never really quite digested before until now. Cool. I hope that made sense. Did you guys get what I just said?
Yes.
Yes or no? So instead of these like big media conglomerates telling us what to think, we're now able to make that call in a way. These influencers, so long as they're genuine, are helping make that call. You know what I mean? Like it's kind of interesting. But there's also narcissism. I don't know. I'm very confused. Okay, well that took an interesting turn.
It could be a whole other podcast.
I know, right? That has to be a whole other podcast. Oh my gosh. Awesome. So Will, for any interested salons that would be liking to join Green Circle, how can they do that?
So the best thing they can do is go onto our website, greencirclesalons.com. And they can learn more about the different types of materials we collect. There's actually a really cool waste calculator feature. So depending on what your business profile is, you know, you may see a lot of guests or not very many guests. You can sort of key in some information and it will give you an idea as to how much paper and plastic and the different salon waste materials you're generating and in turn could be recovering with Green Circle. So greencirclesalons.com, that's also where we have more information about our PPE program. And I just wanted to quickly share too that while this was created for the beauty industry and it was created so that, you know, manufacturers, distributors, and beauty businesses could all be involved, this program is something that we've had other industries using as well. We had somebody a couple of weeks ago from the Salvation Army buying a PPE box for one of their locations. Cool. And it's because everywhere we go as citizens, we're now wearing PPE. So any doors you're walking through, chances are you're being asked to put on PPE. And I think we all know now when you go for a walk around outside, you see it everywhere on the ground and in trash bins. And so really this is a solution that everybody can try on regardless of the type of business you operate.
Beautiful. Well, thank you. And then obviously getting in touch with your local Green Circle salons through your finder on your website. You can also find them on the Sustainable Life app and contact them and see if they have a community box too, kind of like the initiative that Rebecca's salon has, which is really amazing. Awesome. Well, thank you guys for the chat today.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you, Em. Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. The Sustainable Life app is a digital platform which includes a mobile app, website, podcast, and documentary series, all centered around the five factors for sustainable consumption: impact on human health, environmental impact, respect for human rights, respect for animal rights, and last but not least, socioeconomic advantage. Because we want brands and businesses who have sustainable practices to succeed. The purpose of the free Sustainable Life app, available on both Apple and Android, is to connect you with sustainable brands and businesses worldwide. Use the app to do direct-to-consumer online shopping or for the fun hashtag #ShopLocal function, through which you can find local retail shops, grocery stores, cafes, restaurants, salons, spas, event venues, eco hotels, eco tours, and even eco service providers like makeup artists, naturopaths, and dog groomers. This app was created to make sustainable living easy for you. Use it at home and while you travel to live a life in line with your core values. And of course, to hashtag #ShopLocal. The app is available on both Apple and Android devices. Have a story idea or suggestions for a future guest for our podcast? Visit www.sustainablelifeapp.com to submit an idea, or email us at podcast@sustainablelifeapp.com with your guest or show idea suggestions. Just a note that we are a non-judgmental community. It is our belief that no one is perfect, but if we all do our part to consume more sustainably, there will naturally be a positive ripple effect worldwide. Our hope is that the app helps to positively impact your health, the environment, and all living beings. On a legal note, the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are that of the guest and do not necessarily reflect that of Mangla Bansal, Tell Your Story Productions, Inc., and its subsidiaries, affiliates, and associated companies, together with all respective officers, directors, and employees thereof. Thank you for being such an important part of our community. The love enlighten me salutes the love enlighten you. See you next time.